Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
You're still in Ireland, huh?
I am still in Ireland a few more weeks.
Excellent. Lots of cloudy days there.
Yeah, I was just remarking before we went on the air that I had a beautiful view of the Wicklow Mountains south of Dublin. You know, just the sun hitting them perfectly, beautiful shades of green. Can't see a thing right now, like 20 minutes later. Still, yeah. I can't see a thing, but that's Ireland. If you don't like the weather, just wait a little bit.
No, I'm jealous. It sounds wonderful. It's hot here in Southern California already. You found a poem that looks at something that is, again, a little bit controversial. It has to do with the use of antibiotics in asthmatic patients. We know that antibiotics in general, but macrolides particularly, have both antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory actions. This has raised the possibility of do these have some sort of inherent benefit in people who have asthma? As you would expect, the data is conflicting. The current guidelines that exist from a number of different national and international organizations advise against using a chronic macrolide therapy for severe asthma, unless, of course, it's indicated for the treatment of a specific respiratory infection. The two largest trials looked at azithromycin in asthma, and they gave both of them gave conflicting results. The larger of the two had said that there was some efficacy, particularly in eosinophilic asthma, but the smaller of the two studies suggested that there was no efficacy. So that in patients who present with asthma after an acute respiratory illness, they may respond to macrolides, and they are probably being treated for perhaps mycoplasma or chlamydia-related infections, and azithromycin and clarithromycin are probably appropriate choices. The abstract that you found and have put into a poem looks at the question, does the use of antibiotics in patients hospitalized with acute exacerbation result in better outcomes? It is a cohort study, a retrospective study. What did they find?
Yeah, this is a registry study, and they have 543 hospitals, non-teaching hospitals in the U.S. And this is a group of hospitals that have pooled their data to do this kind of research. And, you know, current guidelines don't recommend using antibiotics for these patients with an asthma exacerbation in the absence of a clear indication, you know, evidence of pneumonia, things like that. So what they excluded, they basically tried to identify anyone who was hospitalized during a two-year period, principal diagnosis of asthma, who was being treated with systemic corticosteroids, so, you know, asthma exacerbation. They excluded anyone with a potential indication for antibiotics, like secondary diagnosis of COPD, pneumonia, that kind of thing, sinus infection. That left them a total of about 20,000 patients. They were looking for patients that did and didn't receive antibiotics within the first 2 days of hospitalization and get them for at least 2 days. 44% overall fell into that group where they got those early antibiotics and took them for at least 2 days. Then they found a comparison group that looked similar otherwise but didn't get antibiotics or didn't get them in the first 2 days. And the main thing they were looking at was cost, hospital length of stay, things like that. Mm-hmm. And what they found was that the patients treated with early antibiotics tend to be older, more likely to be white, more likely to have diabetes and renal failure, so a different looking group. So what they did was what's called propensity matching, where they look at the characteristics. They try to match, find patients with very similar characteristics other than one got an antibiotic and one didn't. And they found 13,666 pairs like this to do the matching. Basically, what they found was that getting early antibiotics was still, after accounting for all these things, associated with a longer length of stay by about a day, about $1,000 more in cost, similar risk of treatment failure, 30-day mortality. And they looked at patients who received early antibiotics with those who received no antibiotics at all. Risk of diarrhea was significantly higher. In patients treated only with macrolides, compared with those getting other antibiotics, the incidence of antibiotic-related diarrhea was lower, though. So if you are going to, you know, choose an antibiotic for these patients, at least in terms of adverse effects. Not surprisingly, the macrolides were a little better than some of the other ones like Levaquin or other combinations. So bottom line, this is yet more evidence that antibiotics don't benefit patients hospitalized with an asthma exacerbation and no clear indication for antibiotics. And it even suggests that there may be some harms.
Why do you think they chose non-teaching hospitals? Is it that teaching hospitals are assumed to have sicker patients?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times when you're doing research like this, it's a matter of what's available to you. And so in this case, these were non-teaching hospitals. I think maybe they felt they might be more representative of the typical hospital in the U.S. or the typical setting. And in teaching, it could be also maybe they felt that patients in teaching hospitals were less likely to get antibiotics if they were admitted, you know, with an asthma exacerbation alone. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure.
Is it possible that those that are getting antibiotics are by definition, as you suggested, a little bit older, a little bit sicker, and the docs are just a little bit more concerned so that they're giving them antibiotics?
You know, when you do this kind of a study and you try to do propensity score matching, where you are essentially looking for, you're trying to match people with a similar propensity to get the treatment, the antibiotic in this case, but who, so they looked similar, they had similar age, similar other characteristics, but one got an antibiotic and one didn't, and you match them.
Okay.
It's not perfect. You can only account for the things that you measure. There may be what's called unmeasured confounding. And so if there were variables that were important in terms of, you know, clinically important in terms of how sick the patient looked, or maybe their respiratory rate that wasn't in there, or maybe their heart rate, and if that wasn't in the database, then it could well be that, you know, those patients were identified as having, you know, a worse prognosis, and therefore they were more willing to take the chance of using an antibiotic unnecessarily. So yeah, it's certainly possible. You know, everything in the study was either unchanged between the groups or worse for the antibiotic group. So I still think it supports the guideline recommendations.
Excellent. We'll be cautious as we move forward in prescribing antibiotics for patients that don't really need them with asthma. Thanks. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Looking forward
Thanks.
To it.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.